Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is Jackie. Is it pronounced Michael?
Yes.
Jackie Michael. And Jackie wrote a book called Hooray for Parenting. She's going to talk a little bit about her book. So, Jackie, what inspired you to write a book about parenting?
Well, I've had a long career as a psychotherapist, and in more recent years, as an executive coach and consultant, I've worked with women in leadership, and in fact, even created a leadership course for women, and have really been both moved and inspired by the strength of women and the multifaceted aspects of their life. And one of the things that I know is that no matter where a woman is focusing, whether it's her career or whatever, in the background, the issues about parenting are always key, really important. And I've had an ongoing curiosity about all the new research that has been done in areas like happiness, gratitude, mindfulness, neuroscience. And so what inspired me to write the book was to integrate all of this new knowledge and focus it on the leadership role of being a parent. And so rather than just offer ideas of what to do, which is pretty typical of parenting books, or how to feel, or how to communicate, I focused on who we're being as a parent, as a woman, looking at all the multifaceted ways in which we have to engage, not only in life, but as parents, and what kind of an inspiration are we actually to our children. So I think that's the kind of background which inspired me and brought me to focus on parenting. I feel like who we are as parents is probably the most important role in creating the future and teaching our children about not only how to live out of values and character, but also how to relate to the outdoors and to nature and become stewards of nature in the future.
You think that's, I know, you know, there's a lot of environmental stories, and do you think teaching about nature to young children is more important than ever?
Oh, I absolutely do. One of the things that has happened in, I'd say, probably the last 20 to 30 years is that there's been an increasing disconnect between us as individuals, children and adults, and the outdoors. And, you know, kids are so much more tied to their devices. They often learn about nature more from television than they do from the actual connection with nature. And there is a man who wrote a book called Last Child in the Woods, and his name is Richard Love, and he coined the phrase nature deficit disorder. And originally, Richard Love was a psychologist and worked with families and children. And he became really interested in how kids need to be outside. They need to be moving. There's kind of a sense of aliveness and energy, but also like a connection, almost a spiritual connection to the whole earth in a sense. And discovering the importance of how we're actually connected to all of life, to the environment. So absolutely, yes.
Okay. So in your book, what do you talk about? You know, you talk about children and nature. What specifically do you bring out?
Well, there's several different things that I talk about. And I think, as I mentioned, that I focus on kind of self-awareness and looking within oneself. But I also have what we could call actionable things. So in terms of nature, both things are included in my book. So one of the things I talk about is just what, you know, I was just referencing, the great disconnect between nature and how we see ourselves in the world. We see ourselves as separate and isolated. And what I introduce is the awareness that certain spiritual disciplines, but also Native American cultures, have always had a very close understanding and connection with nature. So I'm trying to help parents understand that this is more significant and more important than we've given credit to in our kind of modern consumer-oriented culture. So that's one thing I talk about. Then also I reference research that children, and I think this is true for us as adults too, are happier and healthier and, as I said, spiritually more connected when they are out in nature and allow themselves really to take in both the diversity and the magnificence of the universe. And it could be, you know, looking at a little bug. I talk about a neighbor of mine who has a little 3-year-old boy who, moment to moment, every time he sees a bug, is absolutely thrilled. So we lose that curiosity and that excitement about the world and start to take it for granted. As we get older, we get into school, have to just learn to take tests and things. And so I talk about that too. And then I give a bunch of suggestions about the ways that parents can engage in activities, whether they live in the city or whether they live out in the suburbs or out further in nature. So there's all kinds of suggestions of what to do.
Can you name some of the suggestions?
Well, one idea that could be done, whether you live in a suburban area or in the middle of the city, you could do a window box and grow plants and help children experience the miracle of growth. The other is, if you're outdoors, in the city, or you know, if you're walking in a park, to actually take time and notice things like the barks, the different barks on the trees, or the clouds in the sky. And one of the things in the research on happiness is that we often just take things for granted. We, you know, we walk by, we say, oh, that's a beautiful flower. But there's been work done that shows that if you actually stop and pause for 10 seconds and let that beauty sink in, it actually makes changes in some of the neural pathways in your brain that lead to greater happiness. And I've actually, one of the moms that I've known and shared some of this work with has done that with her little boy walking to the post office. And she made the comment that, you know, I was in a rush to get to the post office, but my little boy's fascination with the ants on the sidewalk were just as important. And I think that's another thing, to give priority and take time for your children to really experience things as well as for yourself. So those are a few ideas.
So for people who read your book and then they come back to you, usually what is the what kind of feedback do you get?
Well, I've gotten terrific feedback. First of all, one of the things a number of people have said is it's easy to read, which I find
it
delightful
really.
Because it's easy to read. It's
mm-hmm.
fairly, I've condensed things, really very important ideas, into a few pages and for each chapter. And for parents, that's so important. They don't have time to read the books and books and books that are written on all these subjects. The
right.
other thing is I have questions at the end of each chapter, and they're really designed to help one think about both their own life in relationship to the topic, or how they're thinking about things in the present, or how they're feeling. And so that was another thing. I mean, people have expressed so many different ways in which it has made a difference to them. And I'm trying to think of a couple of other things that people have said. I think just the breadth of the topics that are covered, the ease, as I said, with which they read the book. They've recommended it for, you know, a lot of people have recommended it for every parent should read this. People have also mm-hmm. said it's the kind of book you can come back to over and over again, and that you shouldn't feel like, you know, just one quick read through and you're done. You can take a chapter, kind of integrate your thoughts and feelings and try to apply it to your life, then put the book down and come back, you know, a week later. All of this, I think, is so critical for parents, because time is of such a an essence. And so anyway, those are a few things.
So, you know, within the last couple of months, the world has been turned upside down. We're dealing with a pandemic. We're dealing with employment difficulties. So do you think that your book, for people who have children, you know, important now, get what you're saying?
Yes, I do, because one of the things I know is that the demand on parents right now is absolutely horrific and so stressful. And the fact that they have to worry about work and finances in many cases, and up until the end of the school year, homeschooling the kids, worrying about what's going to happen in the fall and how they're going to manage if the kids don't go back to school. So, yes, I understand the tremendous burden right now. And I think the thing that is most valuable in taking the time to read the book and integrate some of the principles that are introduced is that who parents are for their children are models in terms of their values, in terms of just how they're relating. And the book supports parents in being less reactive and more effective in interacting with the kids. And, of course, I didn't mention the other side of it is the kids are going kind of are more reactive themselves because of the quarantine and everything. And so I think the capacity of parents to be what I would call masterful in dealing with their children is probably more important than it's ever been. And it the book sheds light on the impact of stress, how that gets in our way of being present with our children. And, you know, one of the things I emphasize is that being present, and what that means is really listening, not looking at your cell phone at the same time your kids are talking to you, but being fully present makes a huge difference in your interaction with your children. And when you can't be available, to make it clear that you can't be available rather than pretending you are when you're not. So there are a lot of skills and insights about how to be more effective in general, but I think they're especially valuable right now during the...
My favorite chapter heading is be intentional. You are your child's first teacher, and it's so important. You know, there's a stress on pre-K and getting kids to the classroom earlier and earlier, but you are your child's first teacher. And from the standpoint that kids are going to daycare and pre-K, do you think it's too much?
Well, it's very interesting. I think that if it's a really positive daycare environment, meaning that the people who are in charge and teaching are knowledgeable about children and children's feelings and so forth, it can work okay. But I do think that too often in the world that we live in, we let our kids learn their values from television, from their peers, and in some ways, they rather than learning what their parents believe in, they learn kind of from the broader culture. So in that way, I think just passing kids off to daycare has its problems. But I do know, just to be realistic, so many mothers work these days. Mm-hmm. But I think, so that they have to have daycare. But I think, again, with their consciousness about their importance and, as you pointed to, their role as the first teacher, that they can make that work. But I think that is the key, that they have to own the responsibility of their importance in teaching their children what really matters in life, and introducing the kinds of traditions and rituals and expectations of their kids that will help the children to grow to be responsible, thoughtful and caring, I would say teenagers and adults. So often what parents do, again, in this consumer-oriented culture, is they buy things to make their kids happy rather than spending the time to be with their kids and sort of letting go of their stress enough so they can play and have fun and be focused on their children. And as I said, even for a brief period of time, you know, in chunks of brief periods of time, it makes a huge difference.
So, you know, you mentioned a good point. You know, people's lives are so busy and so stressed that, you know, they normally might not have as much time as they should have to, you know, be with their kids. And does your book talk about that?
Yes. It emphasizes kind of what I was saying, that taking the time and actually evaluating, you know, I have this statement in the book that that sometimes what is happening to parents is they're working harder to earn more money to buy things for their kids that their kids don't really need. And
right.
I think we've gotten so attached to the idea that we need certain material things that working and earning money is more important than spending time with our kids. And so I recommend in the book that people plan to take a vacation. Now, of course, right now, people are losing jobs and are at home with their children. And, you know, the risk is that because of all the upset and worry and concern and feeling confined, everybody's going to get irritable with one another. But this is exactly the time to say, this is a precious time with my children. How can I make a difference? How can I bring, you know, that sense of connection and relatedness that all of us long for? And so this is the perfect time to say, don't worry about the stress. Worry about being together and making the time together worthwhile.
So as you were writing the book, did you get any feedback from parents?
Oh, yes, I've had feedback all along from people that have been engaged in this work with me. And mostly what I've found is that parents love to talk about their experiences parenting and experiences mm-hmm. with their kids. But they also, I would say every single parent, no matter how wonderful they are, always has doubts about whether they're doing a good enough job. And, mm-hmm. it, you know, it just goes with the territory, I think. And right. also fear being criticized. You know, it's a very sensitive thing being a parent, because you feel like your kids are kind of an extension or a reflection of you, and mm-hmm. you want them to reflect well on you. So So there are sensitivities like that and self-doubts that parents have shared a lot with me. Really wonderful parents, effective parents, but they're not, just not quite sure. So, and I also think that, and this I think is out of my own experience. When I was a young mother, I lived in Boston, in the city, and we used to get together at the local park all the time and talk about all the issues and concerns about parenting and our kids. And again, I think with so many people working today, they don't have the opportunity to be together with other mothers as much. And I think there's a real longing for that kind of companionship and sharing. Yeah, and that's one of the things about my book. It's really designed to also to inspire people to get together and talk things over with other parents, with a spouse or with girlfriends, whatever. And right now I'm in the process of writing a workbook which will extend the questions to dialogue about and inquire about for oneself. So, yeah, that's one of the feedbacks I've had.
Great. So how can people get your book? And how can people reach you?
Well, people can probably the easiest thing people can do to reach me is go to my main website, which is gratitudeleads.com. And there is an email there and a phone number. The email is info@gratitudeleads.com. And the phone number is 315-859-1470. To get the book, all one needs to do is go to Amazon and click on the books and type in either Hooray for Parenting or Jackie Michael. And Michael is spelled M-I-C-H-E-L, so sometimes people find that confusing. But and they can order it right from Amazon. And if they have questions or want to discuss things further with me, by all means, I'd welcome a phone call or an email. I encourage people, if they call me, to leave a message if I'm not available, and I will get back with them as quickly as I can.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie. I hope that in the future we'll be able to talk again. So you've been listening to Jackie Michael. This is Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Thanks, Jackie. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Cynthia.